Chapter 1. Compared to the numerous towns and cities the Duke of Apulia had already either captured or forced to surrender, Corato was a pinprick of a place, a series of curtain walls joined to the four towers to form the defensive whole, a construction which could be ridden around, even at longbow shot, in less time than it took to fill a quarter of an hourglass. Those dwellings lying beyond the walls and the deep ditch which surrounded them, the kind to grow up around any citadel, had been razed to the ground in anticipation of a siege. The inhabitants were now inside the walls with their animals, wine, and portable possessions, some of them able to fight and support the knights who made up the garrison. Adhemar, Marquis of Monteroni and son-in-law to the Duke, knew, with the force he had at his disposal, he could not hope to take the place, even if, like at Nocci, the defenders came out to do battle on the slopes before the main gate. Given many of those inside were Normans, better able to hold their ground than Lombards, he had been required to leave part of his force behind to secure and garrison Nocci, while others had been detached to escort the slave survivors to Bari, the outcome of any fight was too uncertain to risk. His force now numbered no more than 50 knights, possibly less than the figure now sheltering in Corato. "They might be tempted," Bowman said, looking back to where the men who had come with them from Nocci were making camp, "given our small numbers."
"No, word travels faster than a man can ride, though only the evil spirits know how it can be. They will have heard Nocci has fallen, and also have been informed, as were we, your father is on his way from Trani with his whole army. If they decide to sortie out Bormund, it will be because they reckon defeat impossible. And since I am inclined to think we must spur our mounts and get away as soon as the gates open."
"Run?"
Adhemar smiled at the underlying disgust in the young man's response. It was only to be expected from one of his years. Added to his bloodline, he had been raised to believe he and his kind were near to invincible, and his confidence was not misplaced. The Normans, no more than a few thousand lances, having arrived in this part of the world in dribs and drabs as mercenaries, now ruled over a population of Lombards and Greeks required to be counted in the millions. Their confreres, back home in Normandy, had not only held in check the King of the Franks and his Angevin allies who sought to occupy the duchy, but had recently crossed the narrow sea to invade and conquer Saxon England. Bohemond de Hauteville belonged to a family as well as a class of warriors who, when they were not engaged in actual fighting, trained for combat on every day bar the Sabbath. Ever since he could wield a wooden toy sword and carry a straw buckler, and he had come to these at a tender age, being taller than boys who shared his years, Bohemond had been taught how to fight both on foot and mounted. To employ a lance, his shield, a broadsword and an axe had been instructed in the discipline and tactics of the 10-man Conroys, which ensured, acting in concert and even outnumbered, they usually were, the Normans had become the most feared warriors in Christendom.
"It is wise to run when the occasion demands it, Bohemond. There is no glory in a useless death."
"We could try an assault under cover of darkness."
"No.
There are those who would follow me."
"And in doing so, disobey me, their commander?"
Adhemar demanded, his voice hardening.
"When I say no, that is what I mean."
The glowering repose this engendered, a youthful pout which spoiled a handsome countenance, nearly made Adhemar hoot out loud, and it was only regard for his brother-in-law's feelings which held in check. Having had a hand in raising his wife's younger sibling, he knew the boy to have a serious nature,